Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Light of the World Noonday Bible Study. We're so excited that you have allowed a time to come in so we can study and get into the Word of God, so we can learn more about Jesus. We can learn more about Him, because the more we know about Him, the more we would love Him. The more we love Him, the more we can share Him. We thank God for you, and especially you. Another day that God has spared our lives, another time, amen, to be in His presence. And we give Him praise, we give Him honor, we give Him glory in the name of Jesus. So we give God praise.
Hallelujah.
I want our Pastor Ann to open up in prayer.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Give God some glory. In the house on today, we thank God for another day. Like you said, another opportunity to really, really focus in on God and to get the word on the inside of us, because the Lord says for us to study to show ourselves approved unto Him, a workman that need not be ashamed but able to write and divide the word of truth. So let us just go into prayer right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we bless you, we honor you, God, we glorify your name, Lord. You are so great and you are so awesome, Lord. You are the great I am, Lord. You're the Prince of Peace. You're the great deliverer, Lord. And so we just thank you, God, for being our God. We thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus, hallelujah, to die on the cross for our sins, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord God, that we can trust you with all of our heart. We don't lean to our own understanding, but in everything, we acknowledge you, and you will direct our pathway. So, God, we just give you all the glory and all the praise, and we thank you, Lord, for each and every person, hallelujah, that will be online and those that are face-to-face here in the audience. We thank you, Lord, and we give you glory for each person, Lord, for those that are coming out to Noonday and those that will come out to the 7 p.m. service, Lord God. We thank you and we honor you, Lord. We pray that you will bless our leaders, Bishop Kevin, Bishop Ruth, Lord God, and all of our leaders here at the Light of the World. We thank you right now, Lord God, that you will continue, oh God, to give us clarity. Give us clarity concerning your word, Lord God, and we thank you for it. And we give you all the praise, we give you all the honor, that as we finish up today, Lord, we will be better than we was when we began this service at this time. So, God, we give you glory and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God for another opportunity. I want you to press one on your phone, so we can make sure that you want to be live and on this broadcast today. Press one on your phone so we can make sure that you want to be. Your background is suitable for being your open mic. We thank God for everything that He's doing, amen, and what He's about to do with us and through us. We thank God for you are now live on the air. Slack, you're now live on the air. And we thank God for this time where we're in the book of Acts, and we're doing Acts 25th, the 25th chapter of the book of Acts. And we know that the book of Acts is really about the act of the Holy Ghost through the lives of the apostles. The act of the Holy Ghost through the lives of the apostles. And in chapter 25, we're dealing with Paul, who's on trial, and we see where, open up this chapter just to give some recap on Paul's appeal to Caesar to avoid the plot against his life. We see where we have some guys went on a fast to make sure that Paul gets Paul killed. There's so much hate against Paul that people refuse to eat until he be put to death. And so we see he's in trial, and he's moved from Jerusalem, and now he's in Caesarea. And he had one governor who was over his trial, and now this governor has been replaced. Felix is being replaced by Festus. And, you know, when I think about the name Festus, I think about Gunsmoke, and we have, you know, the deputy name was Festus. But this guy, he was not like Felix, because we know Felix was a Roman soldier, but he was also married to a Jewish girl, so he was trying his best to make sure that he knew about the Jewish customs and all that stuff. And so, but this guy Festus had no clue on Jewish customs. He was just a Roman governor, and now he is given the task as just being newly elected as the governor, come into this territory, and now he's has faced with the first thing on his agenda is to deal with the trial of Paul. And so Festus then began to hear the Jewish leaders came up to him and say, listen, this man Paul needs to be put to death, but we want him to come to, not to put to death, but we want him to come back to Jerusalem to be tried by us. And so Festus refused to put Paul on trial again in Jerusalem. And he didn't even know that behind the scene, the reason why they were asking for Paul to come back to Jerusalem was so they can kill him on the way. But God. Everybody say, but God.
But God.
That was Bishop Kevin mentioned.
That's right. But God.
But God moved into Festus, that Festus did not agree to let Paul go back to Jerusalem. And so he began to say, now what I'm going to do is y'all come to Caesarea, come to Caesarea, and we reopen this case. And so you see where now the sitting judge commands Paul to be brought, and then he laid many serious accusations against Paul, which they could not prove. And so now Paul opening up with his appeal in his case, and Festus wanting to do the Jews a favor, but Festus wanting to do Jews a favor answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me according to these things? Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I am an offender or had committed anything serving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there be nothing that these things which these men accuse me of, one of them should be delivered to me and them. I appeal to Caesar. So we're going to start today at verse 11, where Paul is continuing his defense about what's going on with these false accusers trying to accuse him of blaspheming and defiling the temple and all these things that he know he's not guilty of. So, Minister Ford, I want you to read verse 11 and 12.
Yes, Pastor. Verse 11 from the New King James Version. For if I am an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar. Verse 12. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, you have appealed to Caesar? To Caesar you shall go. So understand, Paul being who he is not afraid to die. But he is not going to put himself into a situation where it would be easy for those who are against him to kill him. He would die a martyr with no hesitation because he had no fear. He had no fear of death. And it was an honor to him to die for Jesus, to die for his God. But he knew as a Roman citizen that he had the right to appeal to Caesar. And that's mm-hmm. what he's doing, standing on the fact that he is a Roman. I want to appeal to Caesar. And Festus, mm-hmm. knowing Roman law, had no choice but to say, to Caesar you want, to Caesar you will go. And we'll mm-hmm. see what that precipitates in a moment.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And anybody else have any comment on that? Ella Flatt?
Well, not really. That was, you know, very well put. When I'm thinking about this, you know, you remember last night we were probably, and most of us were sitting and waiting and listening, trying to see what the verdict was going to be. To, you know, that happened, you know, with the young man Floyd. And so it makes me think about that particular thing. We know what happened, you know, that he died, you know, by the hands mm-hmm. of one of the policemen. And, of course, as it, he was, you know, he died. But it was amazing, you know, what we had an opportunity to see and walk through what had happened with him. But even here, Festus is saying that had conquered with his counsel. He had made, you know, some conversation. And when I think about that, I think about that, the jury trial, you know, that had gone forth mm-hmm. and discussed everything that had gone on. And mm-hmm. then you have appealed to Caesar. And so to Caesar, mm-hmm. you would go. Okay, and so a lot of things mm-hmm. are happening at this point, but it sounds like that Caesar, that this man knew what was going on. He knew what he had done and what he had not done, and he was not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And the thing,
that's right.
The thing is about confidence is when you know you're in purpose,
yeah.
when you know you're mm-hmm. doing the will of God, when you know you are in the vein of God,
mm-hmm.
it brings confidence because you know God got you.
Knowing.
So
that's
you can't lose no matter what happens, no matter what's going on, no matter what situation comes up, because God already told him, came to him in the midnight, in the night season,
mm-hmm.
and comforted him and told him, listen,
mm-hmm.
you are now in Jerusalem, but you got to go to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul knew without a doubt that Rome was his next stop.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not concerned about going back to Jerusalem
mm-hmm.
because that was not what God told him.
Definitely.
So when God tells us something,
mm-hmm.
we got to stand on it no matter what. No matter what your authority is trying to tell you otherwise, you got to do
what he says.
What God has already planned for your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see because of God, and God is so He before Paul was born,
mm-hmm.
God knew the circumstances were going to be in existence.
Yeah.
This was going to already be fulfilled. So he made sure Paul was born as a Jew, but in a Roman territory.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul had Jewish and a Roman
mm-hmm.
citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
he knew that because Paul was in this position
mm-hmm.
that the Roman citizenship was going to
come in
to play.
That's right.
So, you know, wherever we are born, wherever
mm-hmm.
God dispatches us, wherever we move to,
mm-hmm.
wherever we go to,
mm-hmm.
is because
mm-hmm.
God already orchestrated
mm-hmm.
us to be there, so his will going to be done.
That's right.
And he said, as his will done on earth as it is, and
mm-hmm.
it's already been done,
because,
you know, heaven is eternity.
Bring it on.
And so now it comes into time where it's being fulfilled because
mm-hmm.
it's already been done in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul is not concerned about
right.
anything.
Right.
It's just like Martin Luther King say, I'm not concerned. I'm not afraid of any man.
Mm.
I'm not afraid of any man. Because he know, he said, I've been, oh, God,
yes,
hallelujah.
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. I've been to the mountaintop.
Been there.
seen the promised land. So he was not moved or shaken by what he heard. He wasn't moved or shaken by even what they were planning to try to do to him.
Right.
He said, I'm ready to die. So death is not our enemy. It was, it used to be our enemy. But Jesus came and took care of that. Hallelujah. The death used to be our enemy. But because what Jesus did, when he went down into hell and grabbed the keys of death and hell, hallelujah, and came up and said, all power is in my hand. So now we can't, we don't have to fear death, because death is just the beginning of eternity.
Hallelujah.
Where we will live with him forever. Oh, my God. So we shouldn't have to have faith. I know we don't want to leave this body. I know we don't want to get ourselves so familiar with what's going on. But if we are in the will of God, that's the safest place you can be. Because death has no dominion, no power over you. And so Paul is not even concerned about it. He said, and because of the favor of God, he is given a choice. Could you imagine a prisoner given choices on what he want to do? I mean, where you want to be tried? Where you want to be tried at? But Paul said, because God already put him in the Roman territory, he had an ace in his pocket. Then listen, I can choose. I can go to Rome because God already told me my next stop is Rome. So, hey.
The thing is, too, with that is he had that confidence because he said, I'll die, but I'm not going to let y'all turn me over to the Jews.
I'm not going to kill
me. The Jews, I'm not going to be dealing with the Jews. But I'll die.
And I know you already covered it, but that's what he was saying when he said, are you willing to go here and be tried? Are you willing to go here? He said, no. Look, I've been all over the place already. I'm already in the right place. I'm before the right tribunal, authority. And so he told Festus, he was like, no, you want me to go somewhere else with a flimsy promise of your protection? I came with over 400 folk guardsmen protecting me, and you just want to send me with a flimsy promise that I'll be protected if I go back to Jerusalem with the Jews?
Right.
And you already have on record how they plotted to kill me with fasting and prayer. He said, oh, no, I'm in the right place to be tried. And so that's what I like about it. And so, you know, then we get down to 11 and 12.
Very good. Mm-hmm.
Very good. We read 11 and 12 now.
So
we see where it doesn't matter what comes against us in this life. Because if we're in the will of God, before, we're in the safest place. The things don't come behind after you. But whatever comes after you is only to push you
to your destiny,
to where God wants you to be.
Your purpose.
The only time that you get fired on that job is for God to push you to where you need to be. God showed me before I got to Atlanta about a community center that I was director of. I came to Atlanta. I went to Grady Hospital. And then Grady Hospital laid me off. Because God is telling me all the time, but I don't even know it. But God will push you to where you need to be, because he knows we ain't got sense enough to fall in sometimes.
Amen.
So wherever you are is where God wants you to be.
Yes.
And if you're not there, don't worry. You're going to get there, because he's going to make sure, because his will is going to be done. No matter what's going on in your life, God's will is going to be done in your life, because even, you know, I'm always thinking about Samson. You know, Samson was born to destroy the Philistines. But he messed, in all his life, he messed around the whole time and didn't do what he's supposed to do at all. But guess what? Before he left this earth, he fulfilled what the purpose that God had for him, even at his death.
Yeah.
And so God's will going to be done no matter what.
Amen.
So you might as well let him go willingly, or you're going to go screaming and kick. But the will of God going to be done. And I'm so glad that God's mercy don't eradicate us, because he said his gift has don't give us no repentance.
Amen.
He's not going to be sorry or take it back what he gives you. He already gave it to you, because he knows your end before he saw your beginning. So he already know what you're going to do and know what you're capable of doing. And so we see where Paul said, listen, I am ready to die. I'm refusing to die. I'm ready to do that, but I know where God wants me to be. And so we got to stand on the word of God no matter what, no matter what your circumstances look like, no matter how things look crazy, it don't line up, because a lot of times what God tells you, it don't equal your circumstance.
Yeah.
I mean, you I wrote a book called There's Hope Beyond the Reasons to Doubt, because your circumstances can give you some reasons to doubt what God says. But you got to trust God no matter what, because if he said it, he's big enough. And Mother Williams just tell me he talks big talk. Because he got the world and everything in his hands, and he can back it up. And my mama said, you can take it to the bank. If he said it, you can take it to the bank. And so Festus don't have no choice but to agree with what Paul said, because Paul said, listen, I'm going to Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
So Festus says, well, to Caesar you go. I can't disagree,
mm-hmm.
because when God says something, everything got to line up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it don't want to line up. Listen, when God get in it,
mm-hmm.
he would change the nature of stuff so it lined up with what he said.
Amen.
You know, I think about when Balak
mm-hmm.
was trying to go somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and an angel
mm-hmm.
was there with a sword, but because God loved Balak so much,
mm-hmm.
he woke up that donkey,
mm-hmm.
and now donkey was able to speak English
mm-hmm.
or whatever language they spoke, at the time. That donkey was able to speak to this man
mm-hmm.
to protect him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when they said God smile on children and whatever, the elderly or whatever. But God have mercy on us, even when we think we don't. I mean, he's beating that donkey.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you move? I want you to move. But because of the grace of God, that donkey had to say, man, listen, haven't I been your donkey all this time? Have you ever seen me disobey you? There's an angel and a sword right in front of you. But he's so blind, till God had to open the eyes and the mouth
mm-hmm.
of a donkey to speak to him. So no matter what circumstances going on in our lives, God got a way to protect us.
Mm-hmm.
They scheming against Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is not aware physically that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Festus don't even know that's what they're doing, because they're doing it behind the scenes. They plotting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But because God got you,
mm-hmm.
the devil's plot would not work.
Not work.
No matter what he's scheming, it ain't going to work. We know the story of Esther. With Haman and you know, all these things, no matter what the devil tried to do to you, just like Joseph's brother. They thought he was dead. But when they were about to die for the lack of food, guess who they had to go to?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And he had to say, you meant it to evil, but God meant it for good. It's all about our purpose. It's all about our purpose. We're going to be where purpose have us to be. And don't we think that that's why we can't be angry with the people who push us. because they're pushing us. They only gonna, God's only going to allow them to push us where we need to be. He ain't going to get us out of place. And so we see where Paul was, he was confident that God told him this was going to happen. He's fine with it. And that's how we have to be today. We can't be moved by stuff that happens in our lives. Certain sickness come on us, certain disease come on us, certain circumstance come on us. We can't be moved by that. Because God, whatever come in our lives, God allowed it to come. Because he know. He know what he's going to get out of it. He's going to get us closer to him. And that's all he wants to do. And that's all we should want to do, is get closer to God.
Amen.
Any other comments? Elise, you want to do 13 and 14?
We're 13 and 14, don't you? That's
25. I'm in the New American Standard. You said 13, right?
13.
Okay. Now when several days had elapsed, King Agrippa and Bernice arrived at Caesarea and paid their respects to Festus. While they were spending many days there, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, "Here is a man who was left as a prisoner by Felix."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he came into this thing, and of course, so these other people now of authority show up. Now, because he was saying that, you know, he really didn't know much about how to go about it, but, you know, he even after a couple of days, so it wasn't that it was so pressing on Felix. He waited a while before he kind of bought this up. He didn't hit him with it. As soon as they got in the door, they hung around for a couple of days, and he casually, you know, by the way, there's this, you know, this guy. So, but as he's talking, even though they have the same kind of authority position, I was like, okay, he's talking to someone who is so out of order, you know, in his life, that, and he's asking him about how he should judge. And like you say, sometimes we go to the wrong people.
That's right.
God, the last person we consult, or our pastor. And so I had written in these notes here that King Agrippa, Bernice was his sister, and they arrived there. But King Agrippa was the great-grandson of Herod the Great. So, but Bernice, she had married into her family. Actually, her husband was her uncle. And she had married her uncle and at a young age. And then when he died, she went to live with her brother, as was heavily suspected after that they were in an incestuous relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So here they had incest going on between them.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he is this King Agrippa and having a sexual relationship with his sister, and they go to visit Felix, and Felix going to ask them some kind of moral question. I almost fell out. I was like, what? Because you see that it did end up being about the people's religion more than what Paul did. So that's all I say.
Awesome.
Now we're in the book of Acts, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So we got to see the movement of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See how the Holy Ghost is setting up.
Mm-hmm.
Because already when Paul got converted, remember, the Spirit told Ananias, Paul is a different man, but I'm going to bring him before kings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring him before kings and the Gentiles to preach the gospel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now God got to fulfill what he said he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's in front of governors. He's been to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in order to fulfill his word, God got to bring a king here.
Mm-hmm.
And here go your boy. Agrippa's riding on the horse. Agrippa here is riding on the horse coming in now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it ain't about Festus. It's about what God promised Paul that's going to happen to him.
Yeah.
And the thing is now, We don't have to go search for a pulpit.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
God's going to bring who you need to minister to you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Some folks say, oh, I can't preach. I ain't gonna. No, 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 no. If you are ready to deliver the word of God, God will bring the pulpit to you.
Yeah.
Here go Agrippa and his wife. Think they come in just to visit.
Yeah.
But God have a plan for them.
Amen.
God gonna stir up their nest. Anytime. Nobody know the secret of what they were doing, but God knew already.
Yeah.
And here they come in town. I mean, in royal.
Royal
entourage, and you know they're big.
Yeah.
But all Paul know is that he served a greater God. And so when they came to visit Festus, God stirred up Festus.
Yes.
To ask the question, because you know once we are a governor and we're high and mighty, we don't want to ask nobody nothing. We know everything.
Mm-hmm.
But God pressed Festus to now put it on the heart of Festus, so now he has to bring Agrippa into the presence of Paul.
Mm-hmm.
See, because God's setting it up now. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
And I think what it was, you know, since he waited those couple of days, you know, like you say, he's in a high authority, and he probably don't want to admit that he don't know what to do.
Right.
So casually bringing it up, you know, like, I know what to do because I'm in authority, but, yeah, just give me your opinion. What do you think about this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to admit that you don't know, but you just want to know what they think about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good. Uh-huh.
Anybody else have a comment on those? Verse 13 and 14. No, 12 and 13?
Yes. Pastor Butterfield?
Uh-huh.
Yes, I just wanted to say, going back to your earlier comment, that when God is in it, everything has to be lined up. And if you remember in your biblical studies, this King Agrippa, his great-grandfather actually tried to kill Jesus when he was a baby. His grandfather beheaded John the Baptist. And his father actually had the apostle James martyr killed. So here is lining up in order, lining up in the flow of God, that now Festus lays this case out before Agrippa, and now it seems as though God is lining it up in order, divine order, that now Paul will be the next in line.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Jesus.
That is awesome.
Isn't
that
awesome?
I'm telling you, this word,
awesome.
Ain't nothing happened by circumstance, by happenstance.
Mm-mm.
I have to say, God, I'm telling you, God is orchestrating this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
My goodness.
He is working it.
Oh, he's working it. He's working it.
He worked.
Yeah, but on the note, tagging what Elder Ford said, you know, because it was lined up from the grandfather, the father, and now him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the things that irked Festus here was that Paul, in his testimony, that's where the connection of Jesus come in, because he kept talking about this Jesus who is now alive and has risen, and he kept saying this man was alive, this same Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when he's telling this testimony to Festus, and then he's mentioning this, so this thing really irked Festus, but now Agrippa is hearing and he say, wait a minute, Jesus, you know, isn't that the same one that my grandfather,
right.
you know, was asking, didn't he kill some of the people? Mm-hmm. And so, but here it is coming up, you know, all these years later, the same name. Mm-hmm. But Paul is claiming that he has risen and he is alive. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, at the right hand of the
right,
Father.
Right, right, right.
He was talking about him just like, you know.
He was there.
He was, yeah, he was mm-hmm. there. And that thing bothered us,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
So he's telling Agrippa that now this man was left. This certain man was left in bond by Felix.
Mm-hmm.
So I inherited this problem, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to figure out what to do with it. But I want you to know I inherited it. So it's not necessarily my problem. You know, but I want your advice. And so we see where if we take a good look at everything, even in my lives, we can see how God has put things in place, and we got to where we are
mm-hmm.
based on the things that God did.
Mm-hmm.
We know we couldn't take credit for what was done,
mm-hmm.
and where we wind up and how we are today. We know it has to have been the hand of God to get us where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see that all through the Bible. You can see how the hand of God is just moving.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to make sure that we don't just look at the Bible as a book that
mm-hmm.
we look at,
mm-hmm.
but it's a mirror. It's something that we can see ourselves in. When we read this word, when we study this word, we got to be able to see ourselves
yeah,
in it.
Come alive.
Yeah.
And let it come alive. And so when we walk, when we mm-hmm. talk, we know what we know, but we abiding by the word of God, not
mm-hmm.
necessarily just a story being told.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you know, they used to call the Bible the greatest story that ever told.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah, but it's not just a story.
Amen.
It's a part of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to make sure that when we hear the word of God, we take it with that same attitude. We don't just take it as, oh, this is just word on a piece of paper. No.
No.
This is the Spirit of God. The Bible says it's life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's right.
The word is spirit and life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So we're going to ask Elder Slack, you want to read the next two verses, 15 and 16?
Okay. When I went to Jerusalem, the chief priest and elders of the Jews brought charges against him and asked that he be condemned. I told them that it is not the Roman custom to hand over any man before he has faced his accuser and has had an opportunity to defend himself against their charges.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you know, I tell you what, I think I probably was so involved in what was going on in life, just like you were saying that we know that this is not just a story, you know, that somebody told about us about. It's stuff that we're living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're really living this right here. Right now,
mm-hmm.
and he says, you know, right. told them that it's not the Roman custom. You know, you're supposed to be able to face your accusers, and
mm-hmm.
that's what's happening
yeah.
in this situation right here. You know, you get an
mm-hmm.
opportunity, especially if you've accused me of something, you got to prove it some kind of way. How did you know?
Yeah.
How did you know this was going on this way? And so that's really what's going on right here. That he would have an opportunity to defend himself against who is accusing him. And so
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, when you think about our judges and trials and all of that stuff that's going on, this is
mm-hmm.
the same thing that's going on in our life. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
like something
it's
like Bishop Butterfield was saying, you hear what I said, Bishop Butterfield? Bishop Butterfield was
yeah.
saying.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying?
All right.
that, that this is not just some letters being written on a page. This is life, and it's truth. And we need mm-hmm. to know just that as we walk through this word.
Amen.
And you know, the Jews did not run their tribunal like this.
Amen.
And we know, if we notice, and you know, Bishop Kevin preached a series called The God Pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we look at it, we can see there's a pattern.
Yeah.
Not only that Ella Ford brought up about how Herod and all his generation played a part in what they did, but notice that each one of them who came against Jesus, come against Peter, them, and all them, they couldn't find no fault.
Can't find no fault.
Pilate said, I find no fault. but the thing about, notice the similarity that these people, although they didn't find no fault, they still want to please the Jews.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Every time we read one of these, whether it was Felix, whether it was Festus, whoever it is, what they wanted to do most of all was to please the Jews. They wanted just to please the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing a pilot did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what around y'all holiday?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can offer up to y'all want Barabbas or y'all want Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to offer y'all a goodwill jester, they call it. A goodwill jester. I'm going to offer y'all. You'll set Jesus free or set Barabbas.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all choose this one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in all these cases, look at it.
Mm-hmm.
They find no fault.
Mm-hmm. No fault.
But they want to please the Jews.
Please the Jews.
And guess what? God had it to be so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't because of something they wanted to do. God moved on them. And, you know, when I think about Moses going to Pharaoh, and, you know, I've noticed in the Bible that God told Moses that you got Aaron to be a spokesman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aaron ain't said a word to Herod, I mean to Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
Moses did all the talking. But anyway, what happens is God, after the first plague, God changed the heart of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, y'all get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, God hardened his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so God kept, I mean, playing with Pharaoh's heart, softening it, hardening it, I mean, back and forth. So God is moving on the people's in heart. Whoever's in authority, whoever is against you, is God moving on them. That's why they can't stand you. Ain't got nothing to do with you. It's the plan and will of God for your life, because God want to bring something out of you and help you to deliver somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see where the circumstances is now, where he said, listen, these men, these Jewish leaders,
mm-hmm.
and the chief priests,
mm-hmm.
same devils that went after Jesus,
mm-hmm. yeah,
chief priests,
same one,
who paid Judas that 30 silver,
mm-hmm.
the chief
mm-hmm.
priests,
mm-hmm.
all these people here, they are the ones who came against this man.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to get them to face him.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
how the court of law works.
Mm-hmm.
But the Jews didn't work it that way. But a lot of preachers call it kangaroo court.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews
right.
there.
Oh.
But so now we see where God, even in the land today,
mm-hmm.
the accuser have to face
mm-hmm.
whoever coming against you. They got to face you.
That's right.
Or they face your family. If you murder somebody, like George Floyd's family was in the courtroom
mm-hmm.
facing
Yeah. The police officer, the former
right.
police officer.
Mm-hmm.
They had
right.
to face the accuser.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the right that they have. And so we see where the Roman law did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you accuse somebody, you got to face them to prove out what you say.
Right.
You ain't going by just hearsay or what you say, one side story. No.
Mm-hmm.
They told me that there's three sides to every story.
Right.
Your side,
right.
her side, and the right side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think also what one of the important things is that he was saying, remarking about the customs of the Romans. The same thing happened with Felix. He was going by the law. And then Festus, he's going by the law. So you
mm-hmm.
can't come up in no court talking about our religion and our beliefs. Is somebody going to defend you in there, even like they did for George Foreman,
right.
even like they went and got Sharpton?
Yeah,
you know, he's a pastor.
Right.
But
that
big head man knew the law.
He knows
you know, you got to know the law when you're going up against in a courtroom.
And that
you
other
know,
guy.
And they ain't going to be judging you on your religion and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. You know,
right.
that's why he said, this seems like
you gotta know
different. This is a scribble between their religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in here to justify the law. And
mm-hmm.
I don't see anything where he did that. So that's why I said, you can go into court, but you're going up there with all that half, you know, stuff. You better
know
the law,
because
that's what they're going to judge you on.
That's right.
It
mm-hmm.
is the law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
Not the commandments of your church or whatever. It is.
Yeah, right, right.
The things you got written on your the
your doctrines
yeah,
and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Your denomination bylaws.
That was
flat. Go ahead. I'm just trying to get around, you know, what the word is really saying, not just the word right in the Bible, but also the word that's been said, even by, you know, what's going on in that courtroom. You got to have
mm-hmm.
something other than, you know, what you think about it. You got to have some proof.
You gotta have some proof.
You have some proof. You
gotta be
able to find anything. You know what is the proof? What happened and all of that? And so I think that's what is happening in the same situation. We have no.
Amen.
Send them before the jury.
Yeah.
You know, send them
mm-hmm.
before the jury and you know, find out what mm-hmm. you come up with.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
You know,
yes.
I'd like to say something. God
yes,
is
sir.
In control. God is
yes.
in control totally. No matter what happens on this earth or in this universe, God is in control.
Mm-hmm. In control.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Thank you.
He put everything in motion. Everything in motion to come up to what he planned.
Mhm. Mhm. Mhm.
And God don't plan after the fact.
Hallelujah. It's before. It's already worked
right.
out.
Before the world began.
It already worked it out.
He already had a plan.
That's right.
I heard Elder, he said before creation
uh-huh.
a purpose.
Purpose. Yes.
Purpose before creation.
Yeah,
so
purpose.
God don't wait till, oh, man.
Oh, man. Let me see what I'm going to do with that.
Yeah,
what am I going to do with him?
No. Before he scooped out time out of eternity.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And decided he was going to make us and create us.
He already
knew the ending is already given.
Mm-hmm.
That's why sometimes he let us see
mm-hmm.
the end.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
He got John on the Isle of Patmos
mm-hmm.
to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. So he left us something that we can know that, hey, here's what's going to happen.
That's it.
Because he already knew it. Whom he foreknew. Whom he foreknew, he did
predestined.
Now predestined is a word that's real funny.
Uh-huh.
Because
uh-huh.
you got pre.
Uh-huh.
That means before.
Uh-huh.
And destiny is the end.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So when you predestined, you got them together.
Yeah.
So God is so great
that he has the pre and the destination all together.
And he knew, and he knew something too. I mean, because he had already done that, he knew that some folks were gonna live in the permissive will, and some folks were gonna live in the perfect will. And you're able to really kind of see that flow as well. Folks that live in the permissive will of God, and those that live in the perfect will of God. So when God, when something happened in your life, it's not necessarily that you are doing exactly what you should be doing, but I guess it is what you should be doing, because God already knew you were going to live in the permissive will anyway, instead of the perfect. Thine will be done. Yes. And then in that permissive will, some of your will is being done. Not necessarily all of God's will being done. If some of that is your will being done, and you live in it, and you're satisfied with it, and you go with it.
When you say that, Jesus gave us a lesson that sometimes we miss. In the garden, when he says, Not my will, but thine be done. We don't have the spiritual gusto, fortitude to resist our will and let his be done. Sometimes our will is being done instead of his will. But grace.
Grace.
But grace. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Thank God for grace.
So grace keeps us. Because he can just cut us off, but grace.
Yeah, but grace. Oh,
grace,
my God.
And so we got to work at letting his will.
Letting his will be done. Yes.
We got to work at, and that's that's our challenge.
Yeah.
In life, again, when we're living in this flesh, our biggest fight is to let his will be done. That's it. I mean, if once we are born again, our greatest challenge let his will. And that's why Jesus made that example for us in the garden. He said, Father, if there be another way.
Another way. You take that way.
If there be another way, can you figure something else out?
Can you
give it some other way?
I'm going to leave it alone.
I just got here 33 years. I just started talking to these people 3 years ago. If there's another way.
Take this cup.
Because the thing is that he had to go through death. And death is not the physical death that he was worried about.
Right.
But he had to go through being separated from daddy.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
My God.
Do you know how your child feels the first day of kindergarten?
And you got to go home.
You in the car crying, and they in the school crying. Because they don't want to be separated from you.
Although
they know they're going to come back to you.
Jesus knows he's going to be coming back
to the Father. But he feels dreaded being separated from God.
An experience he
never had before.
He's never
been separated from God.
But
this thing that he was going to go through for mankind,
he had to be
separated from God. That's why God said that's why Jesus said, Father, Father, why have thou
forsaken me?
And he didn't say Father, he said God. My God, my God.
Why?
Because
it had to be done on the cross, Pastor. And he had to shed his precious blood. He had to shed his blood for us to be redeemed.
Yes, that's right.
No other way. And so we got to take the life of Jesus as examples on how we live this life. Because he's teaching us all the time. That's why we got to be disciples of Christ. We have to go after his teaching and live it. And live it. So we can become a part of who we are, and then somebody else going to see it.
Exactly.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You see that
glory
of God still. Amen. Amen. Anybody have any last comments? Press one on your phone if you're not live, or if you any final comments, because we're gonna do our offering and then we'll be ready to go. But man, this time go by so fast.
I'm telling you.
Hallelujah. When you get into this word.
Pastor, yes. We are here today. God will never go against his word.
Amen.
That is why people things happen, and people go, why did God let this happen? It's because he will never go against his word. And every promise that is in this book that we read, that we study, that we meditate over, has to come to fruition. Everything.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise
Great
God.
Word.
Praise
Great
God.
Word. Anybody else? Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory
Hallelujah.
To God.
Hallelujah. Ella Ford, any final word, Ella Ford?
All right. And no, Bishop Butterfield, no, sir.
No.
Everybody today was preaching and teaching, and I'm just glad to be a part of it. Thank God. Glory to his name.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. Praise God.
Everybody out there, we appreciate y'all listening to this.
Yes.
And being a part of this word, because we all feed off each other.
Mm-hmm.
We all learn from each other, because God will give us insight that the other person don't know about.
Right.
We want to make sure that we're able to hear. And you know how Ella Ford brought out the history about the Herods. And you know, we all can glean from this is what I'm so excited about Noonday Bible Study. We can talk and we can listen. We can hear what God is saying.
Praise God.
I thank God for all of you out there today.
Mm-hmm.
We pray that God would continue to speak to you. Amen. And we know that the word of God is life. And if we continue to let God's word find us and refine us and grow us up, we'll be better Christians, and to know that the thing about this life,
mm-hmm.
letting the will of God be done in our lives.
In our lives, yes.
And that should
yes.
be our
Amen.
Focus on a daily basis. Let your will be done.
Because
mm-hmm. No matter what, and you know, remember when those people were trying to convince Paul not to go to Jerusalem,
uh-huh.
because the Spirit told him that he was going to be persecuted.
Right.
He said, listen, I'm going anyhow.
And
so they came to the place. They mm-hmm. say, listen, we can't persuade him not to go.
Uh-huh.
So all we're going to say is let the will of the Lord
be done.
So that should be our cry.
Amen.
Let the will of the Lord be done. Mm-hmm. If his will is done, mm-hmm. everything else is going to be all
God
right.
Gets glory.
Everything
God
else is going to be all right.
Praise
so we thank God. Amen.
We thank God for each and every one of you for tuning in online, and also those that are face-to-face here in the audience here at the Light of the World, Christian Tabernacle International. We are so excited about the Word and what the Word is doing, just growing us up and building us up and helping us to be on track with God and seeing these examples that we use ourselves for our lives. And so we want to thank you for that. We want each person to give your tithes and your offerings. We don't want you to wait until 7 p.m. Do your tithes and do your offering at this time. Don't wait for 7 o'clock. Give your tithes, give your offerings, and you also can give a seed concerning this word, whether plant a seed for yourself, and I'm always doing this. For yourself, or plant a seed for someone that is in your life. And if there's someone that is online and you have not downloaded the Light of the World app, we want you to go in and into YouTube, I believe, and download the Light of the World app, and then that way you will be able to give. I know some of you already do that, but I want you to go on and download the app, and then you will be able to give that way. Those of you that are giving online, we want you
to go on and give, and then I want you to text me the amount that you have given at 770-906-0607. That's 770-906-0607. So now those of you that are giving online, and all you have to do is give as you would give if you was here at one of our regular services, the 10 a.m. or the 7 p.m. service. You just go into your app, give, and then text it to that number I just gave you. So we would credit it to Noonday Bible Study. We'll credit to Noonday Bible Study. Those of you that are in the audience, you can give cash, check, or we got the Square available to you. So at this time, we want to give. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We bless you. We honor you. We glorify your name, Lord. We thank you for each and every person that is giving in this offering today, Lord, that you will give it back to them, God, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto their bosom, that so that they will be able to receive again and give again. So, God, we give you glory and give you praise for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. And on next week, we'll be starting at verse 17,
mm-hmm.
Acts 25 and 17. So study that up and come next week so we can get into it.
Amen.
And pull out everything that God has for us.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Oh, Father God, dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great day, everybody.
Praise God. We're looking for your offerings to be sent to that cell phone number.